Steam Ace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Just a heads up, folks, at the end of this segment, I do have tickets to give away. You can win a pair of tickets, a four-pack of tickets, I should say, to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. So be listening at the end of this segment if you want to attend the Mexico against Korea Republic soccer match at Geodis Park next month. Let's go to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jeff is in Franklin. Jeff, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I got a quick question for Willie. I want to talk about our defensive tackle, Simmons. And I'm not sure I understand this. I mean, subjectively, the fights he has with the media and a questionable leadership, et cetera, which is all subjective. But when I look at a player, I'm looking at the objective numbers. How many, rushes or touches on the quarterback? How many sacks? The defensive run game and stuff. I mean, his numbers have been fine and okay, but including the coaching staff and even the media, why do we laud this defensive tackle like he's the second coming? And I just don't see it and don't get how everybody reacts to him, especially based on the results. Would love to hear your all's thoughts.
Thanks, Jeff.
I think some of it's relative to the roster. He is clearly the highest ranked player at his position. If you look at all of the evaluations of the entire roster, Jeffrey Simmons is the only top five guy they have at any position group currently. So that's part of it. Also, I think there was a time where I thought he was comparable. When he signed the contract, and you guys tell me if you disagree, when he signed the contract, he was getting compared alongside of guys like Aaron Donald. I don't know if anybody ever said he's better than Aaron Donald, but as he was negotiating his last contract, which was very lucrative, his comp was Donald, right? It was maybe, let me just slide right under Donald. And then since then, he has probably not been at his best. He has dropped off a little bit. Injuries have had something to do with it. The talent around him has not been as good. And so the second coming, I don't think anybody's saying that, but I do think he is a dominant player who is their most decorated player by far.
Yeah, listen, he's a good player. Jeff's a good player. Has he gotten back to, the form of 2 years ago or three seasons ago? I think it was three seasons, 2 years. No, he hasn't. Or we haven't seen it yet. Now, his body composition, his makeup is much different from when it was last year. He seems to be quicker. He seems to still have that explosiveness in him. So you hope that this is the season, which I do believe. Why? Because it's a contract year. Come on, let's not make no mistake about it. Let's not try to dance around it. But it's a contract year for him. And he knows he's going to have to exceed the old Jeffrey Simmons or play at that level again in order to get the contract that he wants. But there's only so many few guys in the league that can dominate a game like Jeffrey Simmons. And if you have one of them, you covet them. Do you want him to play better? Yes, Jeff has been dealing with injuries after that great season he had. But yet and still, they need to get more out of him in order to become a better team. And I'm sure he's looking for that to happen this season. So that's why, caller, that they seem to, why we all sort of, gravitate toward Jeff and whatnot, is because we've seen the talent. We've seen the play. And I don't think he's too far from what we have once seen of him.
When Teron Davenport joined us in the previous hour, we received a text from Chris. And I think Chris's text flows nicely into what we are going to discuss next. Chris wrote, quote, "Cam played all right against second and third string guys. What excuse is the media going to use when Denver picks him off three times? So tired of hearing Cam played better than his stats. We were promised generational talent, and I don't see it."
You were promised generational talent.
Well,
not on this show.
I brought it up with the texter. I said, who said he was going to be a generational talent?
No, promised.
No, I want to tell that.
He mentioned the quote from Chad Brinker before the draft about we are not going to pass on a generational talent with the number one pick.
What I would say to the
was said before Cam Ward was drafted.
Yeah, you're right. But this is what I would say to the texter. Okay, you say there were second strings out there. He was playing with second string guys as well. He had his offensive line was pretty much intact, and he got protected well. But he was playing with no starters, really, outside of that. Your receiving core were either first-year guys or guys new to the offense. Van Jefferson, is he a two? Is he a three? Is he a four? We don't know. So I don't want you to think that, oh, Cam went out there with Calvin Ridley and all these people, and then he couldn't get the ball down the field. If you watched the game, you would have seen that he should have completed more passes than what the stats said, and it wasn't his fault. The receivers dropped the ball. You know that play, that, and we'll talk about this, but the play that TD talked about, it was to Io Manor, coming in the middle of the field. Cam read that perfectly. It was basic. It was man coverage to an extent. The hole that Io Manor should have went in was the hole that Cam Ward threw it to. Io Manor hooked it up. He should have came across a little bit more. That wasn't on Cam. Cam saw the defense perfectly. See, that's what I'm saying, people. Don't just look at the stats. That pisses me off. Watch the game.
Watch the game, nerds.
If he had played a good bad game, I was waiting to see the film. Because
I've heard that a couple of times.
I was waiting to see the film because I was like, man, the numbers look bad, and I'm sitting here watching it. But then when I went back and I watched it, I'm like, none of this was Cam's fault. He delivered the ball exactly where they were supposed to be each time. And the receivers either dropped it or they didn't run to the open spot where Cam was throwing it.
This may come as a shock to some of you, but I love numbers. And I've heard basically what Derek just said thrown at me from time to time. Watch the game, nerd. Stop looking at the spreadsheet. Stop looking at the box score. But I do think that this is important. Let's just lay out how Cam performed in the box score on Friday in Atlanta. He was 2 for 7 passing for 42 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 3 drives. In the preseason, he's played 5 series, if my memory serves. He is 7 for 15 for 109 yards. He has not thrown a touchdown. He has not thrown an interception. He has a passer rating of 71.3. The Titans have scored 1 touchdown in the 5 preseason drives that Cam Ward has led. Now, we've seen some of Cam Ward's fellow rookie quarterbacks make big plays. Shedeur Sanders has made big plays in the preseason. Jackson Dart has made big plays in the preseason, among others. So Cam Ward has yet to make the big play that's been complete. We will talk about the throw to Van Jefferson, which if he would have completed that pass, Ward to Jefferson, that would have been a big-time throw. That would have been one of those highlight reel plays. So this is what I want to discuss. And Derek, you kind of spoiled it. We can continue it. You jumped the gun on it a little bit. I appreciate your passion.
It's a segue.
Yes. It's easy to look at the box score. It's easy to look at the fact that Cam Ward has completed fewer than 50% of his passes in the preseason. He's 7 for 15. He's thrown for 109 yards. He has yet to throw a touchdown pass in the preseason. But it is important to add all of the context, and as many of you have said to me over the course of my career, watch the game, nerd! It's important to watch the game because the numbers, as much as I love numbers, and I rely heavily on data, not just in football, but of course hockey, it is important to watch the game because there is missing context. So when you look at Cam Ward's box score in the preseason, it does not look good. His PFF grade does not look good. But it's important to note the things that are going on around him, the plays that he has attempted to make that have fallen short.
Number one, I would say, what did you expect the numbers to be going into the preseason? Because especially if we tell you that they didn't play Calvin Ridley, you know, his best receiver in the second game, right? That this is all part of the context you're talking about. They also don't have a very good roster to begin with. So that's one part. The second part I would say quickly is most of you that are listening probably play fantasy football. So I don't want to say that the stats don't matter at all, but I know that myself, and I'm like Adam, I'm a big stats guy. I play fantasy baseball as well. I don't think I have ever in fantasy football looked at the stats for the preseason games to make my choice for a fantasy football pick. I'm more looking at what are the coaches saying? What are the insiders saying about what somebody's role is going to be? So put that in the backdrop, right? Would you, if Joe Burrow went 0 for 9 in the second preseason game, you'd say, I don't know if I can take Joe Burrow with my quarterback one pick. Or, hey, Ja'Marr Chase, he hasn't caught a single pass this entire preseason, and he's played. Would you drop him on your list based on those stats? No. So it's a process. You're working on things. I'm not worried about the numbers. Now, the day will come where, yes, the numbers are going to matter 100%. But right now, I'm really not that caught up in the numbers, even though it didn't look great.
By comparison, again, just looking at the box score, I have not watched a single second of New York Giants preseason football. A single second, and I don't plan to, unless the Titans happen to play the Giants in the preseason sometime, and I'm not sure how often that happens. Jackson Dart, in the preseason, is 26 for 35. That is a completion percentage of 74.3%. He has thrown for 291 yards and two touchdowns with a rating of 117.7. So I'm sure some of you are saying, should have taken the Giants offer.
Did he start those games? He did not start the first game, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if he started the second game.
I don't think he did, but I could be wrong. But there's part of the context that where you start going through, like, okay, who was he playing against? Mm-hmm. When did he come into the game? How many series did he get? Like, Cam Ward has only played...
What, seven series?
He's played
five series
in two games.
So he hasn't. That's a very small sample size we're talking about. But D-Mace has been smoldering over here, so we got to let him.
Listen, I get it. That you know, at first glance, you look at the numbers and you know, you listen, and it's saying 2 for 7, and it's saying 40-some yards, and it's saying the completion percentage is down. I get all that. And I would want it to be better if I'm just looking at it on face value. I would want it to be better too. But then once I sort of peel that layer off and then I really start looking at it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I want it better, but how can it get better if he's doing the right thing but everybody else isn't? If he's doing his job, Tom Brady's former wife famously said it. He can't throw the ball and catch it too. Okay, what was her name?
Giselle.
She said after the Super Bowl loss, he can't throw the ball and catch it too. Okay, so I know Cam Ward isn't Tom Brady, and I'm damn sure ain't Giselle. But what I'm saying is, he can't throw it and catch it too. That's all I'm saying. Okay, people.
Let's just point out as well, Derek. Let's play. Yes. Let's play. Did you play Mad Libs? Are you familiar with Mad Libs?
Yeah.
Willie, are you familiar with Mad Libs?
I am, and I was not good at it.
You'd have to fill in the blank with a random noun or adjective or something. So let me ask you this. This will lead into our conversation in the next segment about the throw that had everybody talking on Friday and over the weekend from Cam Ward to Van Jefferson. I want you to give me a number. I'm going to tell you a sentence, and I want you to fill in the number. If Van Jefferson were on blank other teams in the NFL, he would be cut by the beginning of the regular season.
Boy, I know at least three or four teams.
I would say way more than three.
I'm just thinking like receiving cores. I'm thinking there's at least three or four teams. Now, I'm not going back on what I said about Van Jefferson. I think Van Jefferson is a good receiver. I think he can have a role here. I am not going to make Van Jefferson out as a bad player because he dropped the ball. But he understands with a receiving core the way it is, where there's a bunch of question marks, that's a play he has to make.
He has not caught a ball in the preseason.
He caught one.
He's been targeted three times, zero catches in two games.
And again, I know how preseason can go. I would go through a preseason and would get one or two passes, you know, out of three or out of five. It just happens. But once the season starts, I understand there's a switch and things tend to be a little bit different than they were in the preseason. But again, that's not making an excuse for Van Jefferson. I like Van Jefferson. I think Van Jefferson has a role in this offense, a good role. But when you have an opportunity to make plays for your young quarterback, I'm going to tell you this, young fella, and you know it because your daddy played in this league. You got to make them plays.
Does Calvin Ridley catch that ball?
I think Calvin catches it. You got to make that play because, and he knows it because with a young quarterback, he want to know he can trust you. If I throw the ball, that you make that effort, extra effort. And I'm not saying he didn't make the effort to catch it, but that is a ball that maybe a veteran quarterback can forgive you for it and kind of, you know, I played with him for a while. He'll get it. But a young quarterback, that's hard to get over a few times. So I would just tell him, as I'm sure his dad would tell him, when it comes to a young quarterback, you got to make him look good by any means necessary.
I would say, to answer your question, Adam, it's probably closer to 9 or 10 teams that he probably wouldn't make. But I would say that he's the perfect guy to bring in, a steady veteran who is a pro role player, but a placeholder that is set up to just hold the place until you can find a younger, better receiver to replace him. You want the young players to pass him up. He wasn't signed to be Jerry Rice or even DeAndre Hopkins. He was signed to be a placeholder. And so I'm not expecting him to make outstanding catches and be the surprise guy who's going to get 1,000 yards. I'm not going to, even if Van Jefferson had caught that and then caught a touchdown pass on another spectacular catch on the next play, I wasn't going to draft Van Jefferson on my fantasy team. I wasn't going to touch him.
Damn, Van.
I don't remember the last time I had a Titans receiver on my fantasy team.
Damn, Van. Oh.
He is who he is. He's a placeholder. I'm hoping that Elik Iomanner or others pass him up. That's how this roster is designed. So that's why I'm not that worried about the stats in a preseason game. It's in the context of a whole portfolio of things that coaches are evaluating.
And later in the program, we are going to talk about Cam's aggressiveness versus perhaps playing it safe, quote unquote, because there were some differing opinions on that. 615-737-1025. I want Derek to break down that pass from Cam Ward to Van Jefferson because that was one hell of a throw. Cam had his opinion on it. Brian Callahan had his opinion on it. We haven't heard Van Jefferson on it. But we will discuss all of that next. 615-737-1025. Okay, I promised a giveaway, so be caller number two, 615-737-1025, and you will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. Caller number two wins a four-pack of tickets, 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, the game.
A play like the throw you had to Jefferson on that deep over, how do you communicate with him after that play? Is it just, you know, is there any communication or you just take it to the next play?
Really, next play. That's all we can do. If I need to throw the ball better, or if he thought, you know, I let him too far out in front, or if he just thought, you know, he dropped the ball. So, at the end of the day, it's on both of us. We got to make that play. It's better happen now than, you know, come season time.
What did he say?
Not much. Just, I got you. I really came up to him, see how the ball was. He thought it was a little bit out in front. So, I just got to put it on his chest next time.
That was Cam Ward after the Titans preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons on the pass that had everybody talking over the weekend. Cam Ward's incomplete pass to Van Jefferson. That was Cam Ward's take on it. We'll play Brian Callahan's take on it in just a second. But Derek, you pulled up the All-22. You've looked at it from all angles. Do you guys remember that viral phenomenon? What color is the dress? Is it blue and black?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Is it white and gold? That's what I felt like this was. Was it? Did Cam Ward not put enough touch on the ball? Did Van Jefferson drop it? Like, I thought that's sort of what the conversation has been. who is to blame for this play falling incomplete? Did Cam Ward not throw it the right way? Did Van Jefferson not catch the ball? It's been an interesting conversation all weekend long. But let's ask our resident all-pro wide receiver, Derek Mason. Your thought on the play, and if you had to put a percentage of blame, for lack of a better word, on Ward and Jefferson for not being able to hook up on this play, what numbers do you put on it?
I mean, ultimately, the receiver needs to adjust to the quarterback and where he's throwing the ball. One, you two should be reading it the same. But if the quarterback releases the ball, it's then up to you to adjust to it. Now, in that particular play, because Van was coming across the field, one is going to take a little time. I'm sure what he's taught is to keep it high coming across that field and let the quarterback bring you down if he needs to. You never want to leave the ball short as a quarterback, especially on a, what do you call it, coast-to-coast throw. Basically, that's what it is, coast-to-coast throw. You don't want to leave it short underneath them, because a lot of times you do got an underneath defender, and you're trying to get it over his head and put it out there so the receiver can run and go get it. Maybe the angle for Van Jefferson wasn't high enough, and depending on how they've ran that play in practice, because a lot of this is you're running a play because it worked in practice a few times, and it seems like you and that guy are on the same page, and you both are seeing the same difference. Defense. So I'm sure in practice they probably missed on it once, or they probably hit on it both times. But I'm sure it was more so the way Cam threw it. I'm saying the way he threw it in the game is probably more than likely the way he threw it in practice. So if that's the case, Van Jefferson, he has to take it out. And I'm watching the play right now. Yeah, Van has to take that higher. He has to come higher, because what's happening is that post is taking two guys. On that backside post is taking two guys. It's taking a safety in the corner. The only guy that could probably get underneath that is that linebacker, you know, fluttering out. If he gets deep enough, then you may not be able to get it. Or if that defensive back that's playing Vance man-to-man, if he stays underneath it or he's just got good coverage. Van should take that thing up the field. He should take it more than not to the front pylon and then make the quarterback bring you down. But Van ran more so toward the sideline. He didn't run at the front pylon. He ran underneath the front pylon. And what was happening was Cam was throwing it to the front pylon, more so to the front pylon. That's why there wasn't a connection. I'm guarantee you when they completed that pass in practice, it was throwing it to the front pylon. That's where you're running. That's where you're getting. Because if anything, it's going to be high in a way so nobody can get it. And it's not going to be short unless I just see nobody's underneath you. But again, these are things that you tend to think gets better the longer you play. So that's why I'm not, to me, this isn't an indictment on Van Jefferson. I just think it's an indictment on just all of them learning one another, still learning one another. And again, I'm not making an excuse. He should have caught it. He got his hands on it. He should have caught it. But again, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But if I'm in his situation, meaning Jefferson, then yeah, I'm looking at that pass like, man, that pass, if I catch that, that may have solidified my position on this roster.
Let's hear what Brian Callahan had to say over the weekend when asked about the Cam Ward, Van Jefferson play.
The drop, the Van Jefferson on that deep over route. Asked Cam about it, and he was like, well, maybe I should take a little off of it.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, and how do you like the way, because it's something he's done since high school, and always taking accountability for something, even when it's not his fault. What does that say to you about him?
I think there's a maturity in that. Most quarterbacks learn that, you know, whether or not it is their fault or isn't their fault, their job is to always take the blame for it. I thought it was a nice throw. I thought Van had a chance to catch it. I think you can always nitpick it and hey, if you took a little off, might have been easier. If you threw it 6 inches closer, might have been. There's always a place to be better. Ultimately, I'd like to see them both connect on that. You know, there really wasn't It would have been a tough catch. I think we can acknowledge it was a tough catch, but would have liked to see it get connected, you know, both between Cam and Van. But I appreciate, you know, Cam's willingness to accept responsibility. He didn't shy away from it. He knows things he can do better, and he never has a moment where accepting responsibility is hard for him. You know, I think he understands the role and understands what it means to play quarterback, and that's part of it.
Willie, your thoughts on what Brian Callahan had to say, as well as the play between Cam Ward and Van Jefferson?
I really liked Brian Callahan's answer. I liked Cam Ward's answer, where the first thought is, what could I have done better? And so what this really illustrates to me is how many little things go into a throw like that. D-Mace was just pointing out where the defenders were, the play design. I saw Kurt Warner. I think Paul Kuharsky shared Kurt Warner a really deep dive. Like, I thought, hey, there's a 30-second. It was like a five-minute breakdown of this play. He had so many things. But he was talking about things that you could do to maybe make the throw a little bit easier if you could take one of the defenders that D-Mace was pointing out. They sort of, as Warner said, clouded up the play. If you could get him moved a little bit, that throw becomes a lot easier. D-Mace is talking about how a route adjustment by Van Jefferson could have made it a lot easier. My thought was, I can only relate as a guy who played outfield for a while in baseball. There's some times where a ball is hit and you're tracking the flight of the ball and you're thinking, I got it. Oh, I don't have it. The ball's hit a little harder, a little different. It dawns on me that Cam Ward's ball, the way he throws it, not a lot of quarterbacks have that kind of zip where he throws a rocket. That's a frozen rope that isn't lofting in. It's coming in on a line. It looked like to me Jefferson was sort of anticipating the ball to sink a little bit, and instead it's still flying full speed as it's coming there. He never got his front hand up there, so he's really reaching with the backhand. He misread how hot that ball was coming in. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he'll learn as the more reps you get that that's how Cam's ball comes in there. And hopefully over time that will get better. But it's a really interesting play from so many angles that way.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, thank you for waiting and holding. Well, you did both.
Hey,
please,
guys.
Go ahead.
How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, I just want to say, I was watching that replay. That ball came in hot. You know what I'm saying?
It came in hot.
You know, it came in, you know. I don't know if he would have been able to catch that ball the way that ball was coming in hot. And D-Maze, I want to ask you, if you was in that position, would have been able to catch that ball like that, the way that ball came in?
You know
in
the
like
answer
that?
Before you ask it, Trey.
Come on, Trey, that's a rhetorical question, ain't it?
You know what do you think his answer is going to be?
Exactly.
hey, but yeah, that was ugly. But hey, I love y'all. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Too, you. Trey.
Thank you, Trey.
I think every good receiver will say, I should have had that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Van, you know, once he went back and watched the film, he probably more than likely said, that's a play I got to have.
Yeah, and I think Cam Ward is right to say, mm-hmm. yeah, could I have made mm-hmm. a little better throw there? Yeah, and then you come together and said, next time we're going to hit it.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He's already texted in, claiming that I should crown him. It's Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, man, I don't know what to say out there. I appreciate the warm welcome.
Of course.
That's right. What's up, Adam? D-Mace, Willie. D-Mace, I got it right today, so.
Thank you. I appreciate
well done.
It. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get it. Hey, D-Mace, I'm trying to get into the Tennessee Hall of Radio Callers Hall of Fame. And I'm going to get there, too, man. I'm going to get there. I'm not going to be too hard on Van Jefferson. You know, that was a kind of hit and miss play. I did think he should have caught it. I know you would have, D-Mace. Cam, people could say Cam maybe should have took a little off of it. But, I mean, I watched that game, and I saw a lot of mistakes. Sheffield fumbling that return like he did. Carter for the Falcons got that big run straight up the middle on the defense. Teammates, I'm really – and Adam and Will, I'm really of the thinking, man, or the mindset that Titans really need to, like TD said earlier, I'd watch that waiver wire, man, because they're not stacked and they're not deep on defense in the secondary. They need some others. And you don't know what you're going to get from Snead. We don't even know if Snead's going to play. And D-Maze, you can account for this. Being in shape and football shape is two different things, man. And would Snead be in football shape, not playing in the preseason, by missing all this time like he has? I mean, I don't know, but, hey, we need to just relax with Cam. Cam's going to be okay, man. And I'm glad. Hey, I'm like, Callahan should have put Big Jeff out of practice today. Big Jeff gets in his own head sometime when he gets frustrated and gets these flagrant penalties. He's not the same player after that. I've noticed that the last couple of years without him. And, Willie, I got to take a shot at your Mets, man. You got the $700 man there. I mean, what are you going to do, man? You and the Yankees on the verge of not even making it. It may be Schwarber and Harper and the Phillies that take that division. You may not even get in the wild card, Willie. Don't be mad at me, man. But Soto, you overpaid for him. Willie, I told you that back in the spring. You overpaid for him. Willie, anybody can hit a home run with the bases empty, man. The bases are empty and these man's hitting home runs. Come on, Willie. Come on now.
All right,
I can't
Mark.
Disagree with you, Mark. I'm a little worried myself. I'm keeping the faith, but he's not.
Thank you, Mark.
I need a little surge from Soto.
Mark hit the gamut. He touched on everything.
Yeah. He wants us to crown him.
I don't know. We may have to. I don't know.
I'm glad he's motivated to try to help our show every day.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
I love it.
Six one contributors.
Six crown him.
Crown him.
That startled me. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take your reaction to the Cam Ward and Van Jefferson throw from Friday's preseason game. But coming up next, two respected ESPN NFL analysts, one of whom we know incredibly well, seem to have a difference of opinion on Cam Ward's approach. We will discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Man, he's a big game hunter. He's a home run hitter. I mean, he wants to throw the football down the field. And I actually love that from the rookie quarterback. Even some of the incompletions. You're watching a guy see it quick, play quick, throw guys open before defenders are anticipating. Like, if you go and this is backed up 3rd and 13, just watch. He's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up top is a combo coverage between corner and safety. Bottom of the screen is the secondary. The middle of the field is where you want to throw the football to. He's letting that ball go before the receiver's coming to the top of his cut. And he bleeds him in a yard, and the receiver just hooks it up. But that ball comes out early. And for me, a young quarterback throwing the football downfield in the preseason, challenging himself. Anyone could check the ball down. I want to see a guy figure out, how much can I get away with in this league? Cam Ward's done that.
That's Dan Orlovsky on Get Up this morning. His analysis of Cam Ward's play on Friday night. DVD continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. You can join the discussion at 615-737-1025 via our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. During the 5 o'clock hour, we'll kind of leave it open. We'll continue to talk about the progression of Cam Ward and also the incident that took place today that a lot of people want more insight on between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, where they got into a little fill-in-your-word, kerfuffle,
skirmish,
mm-hmm. altercation.
Whatever you want to call
whatever
it.
You want to throw it in there. We're going to talk about that. But we want to get into something that's going on in the development of Cam Ward, and I think it's an important one. Cam Ward, and this is from Tehran, Cam Ward has not been shy about throwing downfield through his first two preseason games, and that was the gist of what Orlovsky was talking about there. He likes the fact that he's pushing the envelope, taking some chances, seeing where the boundaries are in the preseason games. So Tehran supplements that with this. 5 of his 7 pass attempts traveled at least 10 yards downfield on Friday night, according to NFL's Next Gen Stats. Through 2 games, 9 of his 15 pass attempts have been 10-plus yards through the air. He's completed 4 of those 9 throws. So the numbers, as we pointed out, aren't great in terms of the results, but it does illustrate that he's looking down the field. Had he just taken more of the checkdowns, the numbers, at least from the completion percentage, and maybe even from the passer rating, would look better. But what do you think, D-Mace, as far as this mindset? In the preseason games, as a rookie, as he's learning things, do you like the fact that that he's testing the boundaries a little bit?
Yeah, I do. But he's not testing them in a reckless way, I don't think. With the exception of one pass that should have been an interception, I don't think he's – well, and then a throwaway. But he was – that one, I'm going to put that in a separate category because I think he's gonna learn, like, you can't be nonchalant when you're trying to throw it out of bounds.
Right.
He was trying to throw it in a spot where nobody was instead of just throwing it out of bounds. And he's going to learn that he has to throw it out of bounds. But I like his sort of aggressiveness because it hasn't been to the detriment of the team. It's not like Caleb Williams where Caleb was just, you know, he trusted his arm so much that it forced him into bad decisions. And you saw it play out a lot of times, you know, last year. He didn't throw a bunch of interceptions, but near interceptions. I guarantee you, if you go on his chart, you know, what do they call it?
Interception-worthy throws.
I'm sure he has more than his share of interception-worthy throws. And that's what you don't want with Cam. You want him to be aggressive, but you want him to know when and where to do it, and not to put it in a situation where, listen, a lot of times it's if my guy gets it, nobody gets it. But Cam has been, at least to me, Cam has been aggressive but not reckless. So I like that because it's hard to teach a quarterback who's scared to throw the ball down the field. It's hard for to then everything has to be perfect for him to throw it down the field.
And I think the key point that Orlovsky made that I think is worth emphasizing is that he's doing this without losing complete track of the timing of the play, right? He's not holding and extending and then just gunning it down there. He's trying to wait. The offensive line is doing a good job of creating a pocket for him. He hasn't really been hit very much. So he can try to, within the timing of the play, attack the, you know, some of these long options down the field, even if the results aren't great. But now let's play the flip side of this. Tim Hasselbeck, our good friend, who Chase and Big Joe have stolen from us. Actually, it's partially because Ensworth actually...
Yep.
Practices this after school, you know.
They're practicing right now.
I know Ensworth is a football factory. I'm just kidding. They don't practice during the school year. They're like, second and third period football practice. I don't think they've gone that far yet. It's not like IMG or something like that. They're getting there. But Tim will remain with Chase and Big Joe, and we love his perspective. This is what he had to say on ESPN about maybe the other side of it, and he's talked about it with us. Mm-hmm. Of. Also balancing attacking down the field with taking what's there.
Yes.
You just want to see the you know, completions, you know, the success, the movement of the offense and scoring points. I think that's really what you want to see. What has been impressive is his comfort level and poise and really the arm talent that's on display. But you know that he's going to need help. Good example. This is a tremendous throw. This would be... you know, one of the best throws of any NFL, you know, regular season weekend. Van Jefferson can't come up with it. And then, you know, later in the game, they've got a third and two. He's trying to throw an inside fade. And quite honestly, like, this should be a completion. I don't think Eric Alemora, you know, really recognizes the football and pick it up. Now, the other thing I think Cam Ward can improve on is sometimes take the easy one, the one right in front of you, the flat that's wide open on first and 10, rather than trying to force the ball down the field when the underneath coverage is deep on early down. So if you do that, you stay in more manageable third downs. And then by doing that, you stay on the field more, sustain drives, and ultimately score points. So I think there's room for growth. He looks comfortable. And certainly the physical talent, you can tell, is possessed by Cam Ward.
First, we've got to get Tim to practice
Iomanner's
name, but we'll give him a little slack on that. He's a rookie. You know, he's also trying to coach the Tigers,
exactly.
Right?
He's got a whole bunch of names in his head, man.
But the point he makes is a good one. And I think I definitely had this in the backdrop, partially because Tim had set the table on this, is if he had just taken some of the easy throws early, they may have – gotten more first downs and run more plays and eventually hit another big one or two. But part of the reason the numbers aren't very good is they had some drives that got short-circuited. He threw some passes that were a little bit more of the high degree of difficulty. He doesn't have great wide receivers that are making contested catches, although we're going to get to the one that Gunnar Helm made. Now, that was a heck of a catch, and it was contested, so that was a great sign. But what do you think of the balance, D-Mace, of what he's talking about? Because in a game, right, I'm willing to say, in the preseason game, sure, take your shot. Find out where the line is drawn and where you can get the ball fit in there, what your receivers can do and can't do. But then when the game starts, there does need to be a little bit more of, let's take what the defense is giving you, especially first and 10, where you're not forced to try to hit the sticks. A six-yard gain is a good play on first down. So what about that balance?
Well, there's two type of philosophies. There is a preseason philosophy where you're trying to get some things done. You're trying to see some things. And yeah, that check down may be there, but you're like, as a quarterback and offensive coordinator, you're thinking like, okay, let's really wait on this big play. Let's see if we can do it, because now you believe in your offensive line. So it's like, let's wait for that. Let's see if that crosser comes open, and then let's try to hit it. So there's, you know, that, and then there is the regular season where we've game plan. We know if it's there, take it. If it's not, quickly get back down your check down. I heard that so many times in my career, it's pathetic. Hey, look at that top. Look at that post. If it's there, quickly. If it's not, get back down to the check down. It's first down. We just want to make it first, you know, second and 7, second and 8, second and 4, somewhere around there. Take the check down. I'm hoping and I'm believing that's what he will learn, and that's what Brian Callahan will be telling him at when the season starts. Now, we're working on some things. We're trying to take some chances. It's preseason. There's nothing to lose, but we're not going to do it recklessly. Wait for the over route or wait for this route. If it's not there, then you can try to get back. But once the season starts, the process has to speed up. It has to. If it's not there, boom, you know where your check downs is. Okay, boom, boom, boom. All right, we got it. Move on. It's different in the preseason when you're game planning. Hell, you're not doing much game planning in the preseason anyway. You're working on your offense. You're not game planning against a defense and what you can do. It's just plays you want to work on, and this may be a defense they're going to play, but I'm not really going in deep trying to figure out how to beat this. I'm running a certain concept. If they play perfect defense, then great. If not, then we're going to try it, but get back down to your check down. So I understand what Tim is saying, and Tim is right. I'm not going to sit here and try to say a quarterback is wrong with what he's saying. I just think sometimes when you get in the season, I think the thought process is a little bit different than what it is right now.
I agree with you. I think the key is, can he then make the adjustment when it's for real? And I think it's important to keep this in mind. I am not. We had a very irate texter, I would label him, yes, as saying, we were promised generational play. Generational play. I'm not that worried where Cam Ward is right now. I am in a developmental mode. Mm-hmm. The important thing is where he gets to. It's not what he's doing today. It's what he's going to be doing 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Hopefully 6 years from now, yeah, right? If he's really the player that they hope they drafted with the first pick and gave up all of the other picks, and I'm going to keep that in the context. I was the one saying he better be really good, because you turned down 3 additional picks in the top 35 or 40 picks, mm-hmm, possibly. That's valuable stuff. So he's got to be that good to get the true return on the investment when you have the first pick. But that being said, I don't care if he doesn't light it up at the beginning. And I do see with his conversations to the media and his explanations and everything the coaches are saying about him, he's learning all this, right? And he's not surrounded by great players. It's not like Joe Flacco or Ben Roethlisberger, some of the rookies who jumped in and had immediate success. Mm-hmm. Even going back to like Dan Marino, they had a veteran team around them that had done some winning. It's hard when you're the first pick, because that means you have a bad roster around you. So this is all in the context of, let's just give him a little time to learn. you're going to have some ups and downs here. There's going to be some rough Sundays.
Yeah, there is, and you just hope that he continues to develop. And you hope that whatever they're doing, he is sort of on the right. He's learning at the pace they want him to learn, or even exceeding the pace they want him to learn at. That's all you can hope as someone sitting outside looking in, but knowing how some of these things work out because you've been a part of them. So there are things within the game that I think after watching it, I saw the same thing Cam saw. Now you got to get to a point where the receiver is seeing the same thing that Cam saw. And now y'all are hooking up, because I remember Heimerdinger, the late, great Mike Heimerdinger. He would always say, listen, as long as you and the quarterback are on the same page, that's all I care about. So if you feel you need to adjust it like here, as long as you and the quarterback talks about it and y'all are on the same page, that's all that matter. That's where these receivers got to get to, where no matter what, the play can break down. As long as we all know what happens when that does occur, that's all an offense can hope for.
When we come back, we'll start our 5 o'clock hour, and we'll bring back. We'll see which direction you guys want to go. We do want to hit Gunnar Helm's catch, because boy, this team desperately needs catches like he made, where the quarterback doesn't have to be perfect. But all you got to do is make a good throw, and you got a guy that can go get it. How good is Gunnar Helm based on that play that we saw? We saw a big flash. And what about other guys who flash, like Oladejo? We want to get D-Mace's thoughts on him. But we'll also bring back the story of the day, which happens to be the number one story on the ESPN wire right now, is Teron's recap of the headline. Titans quarterback Cam Ward scuffles with defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons in camp. So he chose scuffles, or the editor chose the word scuffles to describe what happened at practice today. We'll bring that back up as well during the 5 o'clock hour. This is DVD on 102.5 The Game.